Good evening and welcome to the local news. Today is Thursday, May 22nd. I'm Ryan Hudson, reporting for KMUD. In tonight's news, local taxpayers escalate legal action for U.S. accountability on military spending, file a complaint in international court. Stay tuned for a special news report straight from Washington, D.C., where local taxpayers supported by international and grassroots organizations have escalated their call for legal intervention that would stop the U.S. government from funding war crimes abroad, specifically addressing the State of Israel's ongoing military campaign in Gaza, largely funded by U.S. tax dollars. We'll take you directly to D.C. for the filing of this unprecedented international complaint. A class action lawsuit targeting U.S. arms sales to Israel, initially filed in Northern California against Congressman Jared Huffman and Mike Thompson, has taken an unprecedented turn. A class action lawsuit targeting U.S. arms sales to Israel, initially filed in Northern California against Congressman Jared Huffman and Mike Thompson, has now taken an unprecedented turn in Washington, D.C. After a San Francisco court dismissed the class action lawsuit on the basis of lacking jurisdiction, Taxpayers Against Genocide has now brought their case to the international stage with the help of allied groups opposed to Israel's military actions overseas funded by U.S. taxpayer dollars. In an historic move, the grassroots group Taxpayers Against Genocide, otherwise known as TAG, has filed a new legal complaint with the Inter-American Commission on Human Rights, backed by the National Lawyers Guild, the Center for American-Islamic Relations, and Doctors Against Genocide, to name a few. With Humboldt and Mendocino County activists being directly involved in the action against the Northern California congressman, we now bring you a follow-up report directly from Washington, D.C. The grassroots effort alleges complicity and challenges U.S. policy on military spending as it relates to documented war crimes committed by the State of Israel and supported by the U.S. government.
My name is Seth Donnelly. I am a long-term public high school teacher, a human rights advocate, and I'm also one of the organizers of Taxpayers Against Genocide, which is a large grassroots movement. I'm here to represent 3,000 some taxpayers across the United States, we're growing by the day, that are revolted that our government, or not our government, the U.S. government, it's not my government, that this government has used our tax laws illegally to fund genocide in Gaza and in Palestine. And we have tried other options as a movement. We started with a federal class action lawsuit in Northern California that went viral. And we were told by the U.S. court system that it doesn't deal with matters such as genocide and war crimes, that that poses the court a quote-unquote non-judiciable political question. So we are escalating our resistance, organizing people across the country to take the U.S. government to any and all viable international arenas to demand accountability of U.S. officials and ultimately their prosecution.
Yeah. On Wednesday, May 14th, before marching to the headquarters of the Inter-American Commission on Human Rights in Washington, D.C., Taxpayers Against Genocide held a press conference to announce the filing of their complaint with the help of human rights attorney Huwaida Araf with the International Committee of the National Lawyers Guild.
Look, it's clear that the United States has immunized itself when it comes to its federal courts here and being held accountable for war crimes, including genocide, the mother of all crimes. And so we have to go international, but the US has also tried to immunize itself internationally too. We know that it is not signatory to the Rome Statute of the International Criminal Court. That doesn't mean that the ICC can't get jurisdiction over US officials. It can, if countries would have the political will to, and the ICC would have the political will to do so, and that's probably far off. We also know the International Court of Justice, although the United States is a signatory to the Genocide Convention, and just like South Africa has taken Israel to the International Court of Justice, the US is also signatory to the Genocide Convention. But what did the US do? It entered a reservation to jurisdiction. So it said that although we ratify the Genocide Convention, we can't be brought to court unless we agree to it. But there is an international human rights system that really hasn't been used when it comes to the US support for Israeli war crimes, and that's the Inter-American Human Rights System. The Inter-American Human Rights System, we have an Inter-American Commission on Human Rights, and we have an Inter-American Court on Human Rights. Now, the United States does not recognize the jurisdiction of the court, but it does recognize the jurisdiction of the commission, which is headquartered right here in Washington, D.C., and it frequently defends itself against claims that it has violated its obligations under what's called the American Declaration on the Rights and Duties of Man. And so this is what this is based on, because when you support genocide, you basically violate every right that's guaranteed in the American Declaration, which the United States is held to. The first and foremost among them is the right to life. But we articulate, we name about 15 different rights that the US violated, and there's more. It's just every single right is violated. And it is because, I don't have to tell you, uncritical support for Israel, not just with our tax dollars, not just with the billions that we give Israel every year, and that has been escalated these past couple of years, but also by the diplomatic cover that we provide to Israel, including trying to delegitimize these international mechanisms and these courts that are trying to hold people accountable. But without accountability, you have no protections. And that is what the United States is trying to do, right? The United States and Israel is really trying to tell the world that we can't be held accountable, and therefore no one is safe. It is really the might is right. Mm-hmm. And the United States knows that it is powerful, so it's basically saying, stop us, the US and Israel. But what the US and Israel are telling us today is that they can deliberately starve a civilian population after mercilessly bombing them for nearly 2 years to death in a death camp, and we're not going to do anything about it, and you can't stop it. It is equivalent. It is equivalent to watching Nazis march people into those gas chambers and turning away.
Exactly.
And turning away. And we have to realize that this is as severe. And we're not going to stand for it. And history is going to remember that we cannot. For being here and for everything that you're doing. I can tell you from having worked many years on the ground in Palestine, Palestinians who certainly feel that they have been abandoned by the entire world know that they have not been abandoned by you, those who are working tirelessly to stop this genocide and to see freedom and justice for the Palestinian people. Thank you.
The complaint centers plaintiffs from the Palestinian American diaspora and includes over 3,000 individual taxpayers signed on in support of the petition. Several members of TAG spoke at the press conference in D.C., including the son of one of the lead plaintiffs in the case, Monadel Herzala, who has lost 43 members of their family in the last 20 months in Gaza. Terica Roof addressed the small gaggle of DC press and attendees at the National Press Club.
So we stand here today as Americans who are fed up with the way that the United States government has spent our tax dollars. While several programs across housing, education, and healthcare are gutted, our politicians think that the better use of that money should be going towards killing children, massacring families, and leveling churches, schools, and hospitals. Instead of taking care of our veterans, we are sending more of our soldiers to fight a population of civilians, putting them in the crosshairs of Israel's indiscriminate bombing and giving them a lifetime of PTSD that we will refuse to treat. I lost 43 family members in the last 20 months of this genocide. 43. Growing up in a Catholic private school, I only had 38 classmates. I lost the equivalent of an entire graduating class worth of family members, people that I never got a chance to meet because of Israel's inhumane and illegal blockade on Gaza. These were men, women, and children who had promising careers and bright futures. Teachers, doctors, dentists, students. They weren't soldiers or fighters or terrorists, but painting them as such and telling you that they were human shields for such has manufactured consent for their murders. As a Palestinian, I know that the majority of people in this country don't really understand our values or what we're fighting for. So let me make it clear. We fight for the same thing that the majority of Americans want. Freedom from persecution for our religion. Liberty to pursue our dreams of being engineers, doctors, farmers, or artists. And justice for the violence that we unrightly face at the hands of people who can't even see our humanity. And America is no stranger to fighting for humanity. Not even 50 years ago in the 80s, queer people in this country were fighting for the same things while the media dehumanized them and didn't care about their deaths. That's right. There's nothing more American than fighting for these things. And if you can get past the bias and racism, perhaps you can see how much we have in common.
Also in attendance at the press conference were Doctors Against Genocide, the Black Alliance for Peace, and CARE, the Council on American-Islamic Relations. Addressing the crowd at the press conference, Government Affairs Department Director of CARE, Robert McCaw, emphasized the timeliness of the petition and the need for intervention.
My name is Robert McCaw. I'm the Government Affairs Director for the Council on American-Islamic Relations, the nation's largest Muslim civil rights and advocacy organization. I first want to express my deepest thanks and appreciation to Taxpayers Against Genocide and the National Lawyer Guild's International Committee for their courageous and vital work, and it really is vital work, in this historical complaint with the Inter-American Commission on Human Rights. CARE offers our fullest support in their effort at holding our government accountable for its complicity in Israel's ongoing genocide against Palestinians in Gaza, against their occupation and apartheid of Palestinians throughout the region, including the West Bank. We stand united alongside all those gathered here today in this room, all those watching across the nation, and all those Americans demanding accountability and justice. So I ask ourselves today, where else can Americans go who oppose our government's complicity in genocide? Where can we go to turn for justice? How can we ensure that our individual hands are not stained with the blood or oppression of Palestinians when it's our tax dollars and our elected officials and our government agencies that are facilitating these atrocities? Our own branches of government have failed us. The executive branch under President Biden and now President Trump continue unabatedly to provide funding, political cover, and support for Israel's genocidal actions. Israel's deliberate use of starvation now in this campaign of blocking humanitarian aid flagrantly violates U.S. law and international law. It further intensifies the suffering of Palestinians and our government's refusal to classify Israel's starvation tactics, its bombings of hospitals, schools, refugee camps, water treatment centers, electricity lines, communication centers, press tents.
A zoo.
This is genocide. I have spent the last several weeks watching starved, emaciated, dead children that remind me of my own children every day, and I know this is a genocide, and yet our government doesn't have the will or the ability to refuse to track how these weapons of war that we're providing Israel are being utilized in these war crimes. It is a violation of our government's duty to uphold the U.S. Constitution, our laws, international law, including the Leahy Law, which mandates the end of weapons transfers to human rights violators. Every Israeli unit operating in Gaza and the West Bank has used U.S.-supplied weapons to commit documented war crimes, and yet our government ignores these crimes willfully. Meanwhile, our law enforcement right now and immigration agencies are targeting, arresting, detaining, and attempting, while failing, to deport brave students and activists whose only so-called crime is to speak out against this genocide. Our Congress, even worse, those that we elected to represent us have turned a blind eye and refuse even basic acknowledgement of these crimes, and instead they're competing to introduce bills in Congress that would silence us and criminalize American citizens, especially these brave young people, these students who are courageously speaking truth to power. We don't speak enough truth to power in this country. So instead of condemning genocide, Congress is eroding our rights. And as we've heard earlier, our courts, they have even closed their doors to justice. Though the U.S. District Court in the Northern District of California explicitly recognized Israel's military actions as intended, I'm going to quote, to eradicate a whole people, that's genocide. And therefore, that it's genocide. The court concluded that it lacked jurisdiction to halt our government's complicity, stating, and I quote, there are rare cases in which the preferred outcome is inaccessible to the court. This is one of those cases, and the court went on to urge the White House, which is very rare for a court to interfere with administrative actions like this in policy, to reconsider its unwavering support for genocide. So while we acknowledge that there are some limitations to the Inter-American Commission on Human Rights on what they can achieve, we cannot, and indeed we must not, remain silent. And we need to know that the IACHR can issue significant findings. They can issue recommendations. They can issue protective measures, and they can shape international awareness and public discourse. And it's imperative that, and I'm pleading right now, it's imperative that the IACHR finds the U.S. in violation of both its own laws and international human rights laws.
Yes.
We need to become culpable of genocide.
Also making an appearance at the press conference were several representatives from the organization Doctors Against Genocide. Dr. Nidal Jabor, co-founder of the group Doctors Against Genocide, offered his emphatic support of the legal action.
And we are here to show our support. All American with good conscience, all human good conscience who are against this crime that's been committed in our name, who refuse to be complicit. We should all join together, support each other, amplify our voices.
Why are doctors here? Because we could not do it anymore.
Yes.
We could not keep up with the pace of the killing. No amount of doctors, no amount of hospitals can keep up with the pace of the mass murder, mass slaughter of children, women, men, grandmothers, grandfathers in Gaza. No amount of missions can't fix and stop the genocide. In medicine, there is something we call stop the bleeder. As long as the bleeder is going on, we as doctors cannot do much. The bleeding here is the ongoing genocide. That's why we stepped out of our bedside places, out of our hospitals, to appeal to the world to stop this genocide, this mass slaughter. And we know history will eventually say this is genocide.
And we know all the courts in the world will eventually say this is genocide.
Yeah.
But we as doctors cannot wait.
Yes.
We go to school for 2 decades to learn how to save one life.
Yeah.
We spend countless days and nights in the ICUs in the hospital to save a life here, a life there, only to witness an American 2000 bomb, mass slaughter hundreds of children and women in 1 second. And to see this day in, day out for 2 years, we could not stay silent anymore. We could not stay in our hospital, our clinics anymore. That's why we're outside. It is our job. And Black Alliance for Peace charged with genocide long ago, and Doctors Against Genocide as a medical diagnosis, it is a genocide. It has been a genocide. It has been a genocide before October 7. It has been a genocide after October 7. It has been a genocide since 1987. The minute they said land for land without people for people without land, that was the first genocidal act. They erased our existence. It's been a genocide since then because we allowed it, because of the cancer that's called impunity, because the West and whatever they call the Judeo-Christian aliens, the higher moral people, don't see the lives of other people, the brown people, the Palestinian people, the Black people as equal. That's why there has been a genocide. There continues to be a genocide.
Having reviewed the complaint, which spans 74 pages, not including attached affidavits and annexes, the complaint asserts several arguments outlining complicity by the U.S. government in what TAG describes as Israel's genocidal military campaign. The complaint includes both the Biden and Trump administrations, as well as Congress. Following the press conference, the group of TAG endorsers, including doctors clad in white coats and Northern California activists decked out in keffiyehs, marched directly to the Inter-American Commission on Human Rights headquarters to submit the petition. As the group of TAG delegates and anti-genocide protesters marched across Washington, D.C. to the court building for filing, Dr. Nidal Jabour, co-founder of Doctors Against Genocide, offered his thoughts on the historic legal action taking place while holding a banner and marching forward.
We need to stop the genocide. The children in Gaza are starving. America is doing it. America is committing the genocide. Trump, you promised to end wars and bring peace. Do it. You can do it to the phone call.
The detailed complaint rests on civil and human rights protections outlined in the American Declaration of the Rights and Duties of Man within the framework of Article 64 of the American Convention on Human Rights, which covers literally every right possible, according to human rights attorney Hueda Araf, who is named as the lead attorney on the filing. Shortly after arriving to rally outside the Inter-American Commission on Human Rights headquarters, Araf emerged and announced to the crowd of about 50 supporters that the pleading had been submitted.
I only want to tell you guys that we officially submitted the Thank you very much. We will be following up with the commission with more evidence as we get it. We have more affidavits that are also coming, and we will be pushing for what's called precautionary measures in the hopes to move the commission faster, because like all adjudicatory bodies, they usually take a long time, but this is a crisis, and every day that something doesn't happen is a day that tens and hundreds of people die.
Yes.
So we will be trying to move it as fast as we can. Thank you all for being here, for being a part of this, for allowing me to represent you in this effort.
Let's give an extra round of applause for Hueda, who has been working day and night, literally, and also for her incredible work with the Freedom Flotilla.
some of you know, going way back, and for also International Solidarity Movement. Tax Rights Against Genocide is deeply honored to be working with Huwaida Raf.
Yes.
The complaint has been endorsed by a wide range of civil organizations and nonprofits, including the Arab Resource Organizing Center, Palestinian Youth Movement, the U.S. Palestinian Community Network, the Council on American-Islamic Relations, the International Jewish Anti-Zionist Network, Black Alliance for Peace, Doctors Against Genocide, Code Pink, Friends of Latin America, the Nicaraguan Solidarity Coalition, Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, the Alliance for Global Justice, and more.
Even though we are filing this historic petition, I don't want to make it seem like this is what is going to lead to accountability, because as with all international law and international legal fora, there is no enforcement mechanism. Enforcement comes down to people. Enforcement comes down to political will. And so no matter what lawyers do and try to do, it's what the movement in the streets continue to do, and we support each other. In fact, that's why I became a lawyer. I was an activist first, and I'm probably still an activist first, and then a lawyer. And those two avenues really have to support each other. And so what we can do is take this petition and use it in campaigning, use it in continuing to organize, to divest, to boycott, and hopefully lead to sanctions on Israel, use it to educate, and hopefully we will get some mechanism of justice. It will take a long time, although we are asking for what's called precautionary measures, because we are arguing that any delay in adjudicating this is going to lead to a lot more irreparable harm, as we see people are being killed in the hundreds and even thousands weekly. So it might be a long process, but we are pushing for a quicker review.
Stop murdering children! Stop murdering children! Stop murdering children!
To see videos and interviews from TAG's trip to Washington, D.C., you can go to Humboldt Freelance Reporting on YouTube. And that's all for tonight's broadcast. Thank you for listening. Thanks to our engineers, Patricia Tinkler and Lisa Music. KMUD News is online. You can find us at kmud.org and now streaming on most podcast platforms, including Apple Podcasts and Spotify, where you can download our stories and newscasts for offline listening during your rural commutes. You can also follow us on social media. If you have any questions or suggestions, you can give us a call at 707-923-2605 or send an email to news@kmud.org. Reporting for KMUD, I'm Ryan Hudson.